You are listening to the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast.
Okay, hello and welcome back to the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast. Lovely day here for a Sunday evening. Mac's wearing a nice white beater top. Mac, how are you getting on?
I'm good, Michael. I'm enjoying this weather. Jesus, we're absolutely blessed today. It's very blustery and all yesterday now, so it's great to see it today now. And hopefully, long may it continue because this lockdown is driving me nuts.
Absolutely, we're keeping ourselves busy anyway. Nice weekend?
Good weekend, yeah. I was watching the 1977 All-Ireland semi-final there at Dublin and Kerry today. Terrific game of football, and hopefully we can maybe focus in on that in one of our podcasts soon, because, oh my God, what a game of football, Mick.
Definitely. We'll put it on the list.
Yes, a long list that is.
Speaking of classic games, anyway, just saw there today, yesterday, TG Carr have released their June schedule for the football matches they're going to show. I see the first one there they have is All-Ireland semi-final, Kerry v Offaly, All-Ireland semi-final 1980. Apparently it was an absolute goal fest. I think it finished 4-14 to 4-10 to Kerry, so that might be an interesting watch. And that was obviously a couple of years before Offaly turned them over in the final, the famous final. Also they have their Dublin v Mayo 2017, remember that one?
Oh yeah, Dublin Mayo, yeah, that was a class game of football. They always serve up great games. They're always so exciting.
Yeah, they were the best final the last few years, all those Dublin Mayo games. I think that was the one where Keegan scored the goal and then Donny Vaughan got sent off.
Oh yes, very controversial final that. Very controversial. And I think anytime you get sent off in a final, it's a real kick up the arse.
Yeah, I actually thought Mayo were gonna win that one. They were literally going to finally get over the line.
Every final to get so close, but they always managed to, for want of a better word, mess it up.
They kind of like Spurs. They were Spurs and very Spursy team.
Oh yeah, yeah, perfect example of it. Perfect example of it.
Johnny Gall, Dublin, 1992, for my time. But obviously, I remember here in Dublin, we're raging hot favourites going into that game, and Johnny Gall turned them over. That was the first ever All-Ireland win for Donegal. So that could be a good final to watch, actually, because I have no recollection. Obviously, I wouldn't, but I've not a recollection of even seeing it in the past. Yourself?
Yeah. Well, look, I've just seen clips, Mick, but to be honest with you, I think maybe I wasn't even a thought at that time, Mick, so I can't even if we tried to get into it, Mick, I couldn't even bluff it.
Yeah. Sure, look, that's on. We'll watch that in June, and maybe we can use that as an episode. Games. It's not the first game. I'm kind of surprised by that. I actually thought they might go with the first game because the first game was a belter.
Oh, of course it was. Yeah, it was so exciting, and I think both teams just let go and just really showed all the facets of a good game of Gaelic football, and that's what we're always crying out for, Mick.
Again, I thought Kerry were going to turn them over. Obviously, first day Johnny Cooper got sent off. Clifford was absolutely roasting Cooper. Gavin Spillane gets the goal second half. I thought Kerry were going to win it that year, but they just, as we're talking about last week, Dublin, they just always come back. They can't go away.
No, it's the bench, Mick. It's the bench, and it's just, I think it's always just being in the right place at the right time, like creating chances that no one else really sees, and just getting, like, seeing, as I said to you in last week's podcast, Merchant with the goal flying through. Maybe he was overcarried, but for him to have the idea to do that from get go sums up Dublin as a team.
Oh, they're still the best, and they'll be the best for a long time to come. Now, moving on. We were just, I read this today in the paper, Mac. We're just talking about it briefly off air there. Irish Independent next week, they're starting a thing. The top 20 from each county, and then they're going to move on to the top 20 nationally from 1970. So they're going to put in the top 20 players from each county the last 50 years, and then they're going to obviously narrow it down to the 20. As a Cavan man that you are, now with respect, Mac, I'm not sure how many Cavan lads are going to get in the top 20 nationally, but they might, who do you think would be in the top 20 in Cavan footballers?
Oh God, where'd you start? Well, realistically, Mick, we really, really, really had a good team in, say, the early 90s, late 90s. So you're probably looking at the likes of Dermot McCabe, Stephen King, Larry Riley, Damien O'Reilly. There's a very famous video of our corner for Damien O'Reilly star forward for us. Ball was just absolutely pumped down to the Cavan full forward line. It was out, going out along the end line. What does Damien O'Reilly do? Hook it across the way with his left foot and point goes over the bar. I must show it to you. Great points. Some of them players, flair players we always had over the years, you know.
So who if you were doing your top three then from that list, who would be your top three Cavan players?
Again, I was such a young lad, but so many clips I've seen of them. You really have to be looking at Dermot McCabe, Stephen King and Larry Riley.
Larry Riley. Yeah, I must learn a bit to be more Cavan lads, in all honesty.
Oh, look, it's
a little bit before my time.
I know, before my time as well, Mick, and it goes to show our age, but you're probably, back then, Cavan were such a good footballing county, and still are, but we need to start winning Ulster titles, really.
Don't see Shawnee Johnson going to make that list now.
Jelly Johnson, it's funny you mentioned him. I was chatting to him in the shop a couple of minutes ago, so I don't want to say anything bad about him, but he's a class act, and I think in the noughties, maybe, Jelly Johnson would definitely be up there.
You might make the Kildare top 20 as well. He could be the only man to get 2 counties.
He might. Maybe for hurling, maybe. But again, I can't.
top 20 Kildare club hurlers. Yeah. We'll have him on that list anyway. Yeah. Oh, that story is actually bizarre. We must talk about that sometime. That was great. That was madness.
And that as well, Mick. We've hopes and aspirations to maybe get the man on as well. So we have to.
Yeah, I know he's a good footballer.
No, he was a good player. There is even was.
Yeah. Don't know who would get in the Kildare list. Obviously, Johnny Doyle, a personal favourite of mine.
Dermot Early.
Yeah, you're probably looking back at that 1998 team.
Oh yeah.
Dermot Early, Anthony Rainbow, Brian Lacey. Niall Buckley was brilliant before he went to America. That was a massive loss for Kildare after that. Other than that, Johnny would be number one for me, just because that's recency bias as well, though, because the 98 team, I was only a toddler. Like, the teams under McGeaney and them, like, they were more the team I grew up watching. So,
of course.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe we'll look at that through the week and see who gets in those lists. But who do you think nationally then? Who would you talk about? Since the 70s now, obviously, we're two lads from the 90s. But you have to say Gooch is probably up there somewhere.
Ah, yeah, the Gooch Cooper. I think, if you were to name like a top 20 or like... Is it a top 15, Mick?
I think what I read was the top 20 from each county, and then they'll break that down into the national list, essentially.
Okay.
So that's where it's from all the counties.
Okay. Yeah, well, look, Mick, really, if you're going to start it off, you have to be looking at the Gooch Cooper... Bernard Brogan.
Bernard Brogan.
Mick, like, God almighty, every big game for the Dubs, the man stepped up when he was in his prime.
Yeah. He might make top 20. I wouldn't have him in the top 5, top 10.
Are we doing top 5 or top 20 here?
Right, we'll go top 20. Name a few names, then you can see what we have. We can break it down.
Okay. The Gooch, Kieran McDonald, Port Joyce.
Oh yeah, class act. Some of those Galway players would be on it, definitely from the 98 and the 2001
team. Okay. Let's see who else is there. Let's see now.
Anthony Toll from Derry, you loved him growing up. I don't know if you...
Anthony Toll, yeah, class act as well.
Kerry lads, like Darrell Shea, Moynihan.
Oh Peter, yeah, like if you're looking back at some, you're in the Tyrone. Tyrone, Stevie O'Neill, Owen Mulligan, Brian Doher, Tomás O'Shea, as you mentioned, for Kerry, Peter Canavan. He should have been the first name on the list. He should have been.
But look, you have to think about the 1980s here as well. Like, I mean, the Bomber List. Yeah.
Mike Bomber Liston.
Paddy O'Shea,
yeah.
Don O'Leary, the Dublin goalkeeper, he was a class act.
Yeah.
I have all the All-Star teams up in the 1980s here.
Okay.
Matt Connor from Goffley. Unbelievable.
Oh yeah. Like, he was a class act, and like, I think there was a documentary about that winning Offaly team back in the 80s, and Jesus Christ, they had some unbelievable footballers back then.
So obviously, here's the 1982 All-Star team. That was the year, I think, Offaly won it, wasn't it? So they had Sean Lowry, Liam Kearns, and then Jack O'Shea from Kerry as well. It shows how young we are now when you read the organization in the 80s.
To be honest with you, Mick, like I was watching the 1977 semi-final of Dublin Kerry and TG4 there today, and holy God, like, you know, you had Bernard Brogan senior, you had, obviously you were mentioning Paulie there, you had some class acts and just real, real flair players.
Here's another one, Dermot Early from Roscommon.
Dermot Early, Roscommon as well, yeah.
Brilliant footballer, by all accounts. I read a book about him, and he's supposed to be an absolute gentleman of a man as well.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But that family are loved until there. Here's the teams from the 70 now. Brian Mullins of Dublin, of course. Anthony O'Toole.
Brian Mullin, he was so good against Kerry back at Settle. Oh, my God, he cleaned midfield out of it. He was fantastic.
Let's see, Kevin Moran here. Is that the same Kevin Moran that went on to play soccer, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 I went to his brother for my knee problems. John Egan from the 70s as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, man. I think we need to do some research into our 70s and 80s players.
Mm.
We're looking at the 90s then as well.
Loads
of here. Paul Curran in 1992, yeah. Dermot Deasy, yeah. Anthony Tohill, yeah. Charlie Redmond, he was a great player as well.
Charlie Redmond, yeah. Yon lad from Down. What's his name? He's the down. What is his name? God, he's probably Down's greatest ever player. Was it Ross Carr? But there's another one. Oh, it'll come to me. Maybe it'll come to me. But geez, he was a class act for Down as well. What you call him?
Right, his others. Look, Darren Faith and Mead.
Yeah.
Remember the Mead teams of the 90s? They had some really.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor Giles as well. Are we missing Morris? Did we say Morris Fitz?
Maris Fitzgerald, how have we? It's amazing. Like, it's not like we're forgetting the absolute whiz kids as well. Like, geez, there's so many of them, really, Mick, wasn't there?
We're thinking too hard about it.
yeah. See that we're overthinking the problem, or we're overthinking the question.
Michael Donlan.
Oh, Michael Donlan as well. Yeah.
No way. I think if you're, I mean, obviously, I'm talking from a man who's 25 years of age and hasn't got an ton of knowledge from teams in the 70s, 80s, 90s, but you're talking from what I've heard from people saying and what I know now myself and the teams I've seen. I definitely think he'd probably have, I mean, I loved Matt Connor, even watching those finals he was in. That chat,
yeah.
I feel like, obviously, he was a fantastic footballer. He'd be in that top five, top three. I do think he'd have the Gooch in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. The Gooch all lit on, of course.
But even he's reading these names off now. I don't think I'd have Bernard Brogan in the top 20.
Probably not. But maybe forward wise, or if you're looking to maybe narrowing the best forwards of the last couple of years, he has to be there. I'd say, really, wouldn't he?
We haven't mentioned Cluxton yet.
Cluxton as well, and he's been around what 20 years at this stage.
I think he'd make top five.
Oh, of course he would. Of course he would.
Just not one player has changed the image of Gaelic football and how it's played as much as Stephen Cluxton has. Him and maybe Jim McGuinness in the last 20 years.
Oh,
such influence. Obviously, McGuinness is a manager. He wouldn't be in the list this list. Although he's a good footballer by all accounts as well.
Yeah. And he's really revolutionised the way the game's played as well, Cluxton. And, you know, I was talking to Conor Moore tomorrow in my chat, and like Mortimer even looked up to him, the way he played, the way he carried himself. Just Cluxton could even do it. You mentioned Cluxton, like, if he's going to do another year, like next year, he probably could, because if you could train well, no matter what age you are, your body will just keep trying to go anywhere. I honestly think Cluxton could probably do 2021, really, you know.
I think he could play to 44, 45 if he really wanted to.
Of course,
I mean,
he could.
It's a different position. Like, I mean, he doesn't need to be in the same shape as the other players on the team, you know what I mean? And he's probably still one of the fittest anyway. He looks to be
of course.
Great. They always say he comes up to training a couple of hours before anyone is practicing his kickouts. He loves it. Like,
it's funny. He said that after the All-Star Award, and I had to laugh. I think Cluxton was talking away, and he said, oh, yeah, sir, I get straight up after school, and Like, it's like, it's hard to know how much work he must be doing in school if he gets go up straight after. He must have a cushy number. But I had to laugh. He had to say, I'll be talking to the management team. I'll be talking to the visuals. No mention of the wife. So the wife must be very, I don't know, must take a big back seat. So you wouldn't know.
Was he the man of after the first All-Ireland final last year? He was out in, he was in the cinema straight after the game.
Who was that, yeah. Mick?
Dad, he was after the first game last year when they drew, he went to the cinema. Like, he obviously didn't, I don't know if they were having a couple of beers afterwards or anything, but Cluxton was in the cinema watching a film with his wife.
Oh, Jesus, right, okay. No, Cluxton really does strike, and I seen him a few nights out before, he does seem like the kind of individual that would only go out if there was a cause for celebration. Like, Cluxton seems like the kind of fella, if the work's not done or if the business hasn't been taken care of yet, Cluxton will go out. If it's not taken care of, he'll be in the cinema or he'll be going home and having a few biscuits and tea with his wife, probably.
He has his head screwed on more than most.
Yeah, like ourselves, Mick.
Like ourselves. You know, that's the reason why we aren't playing county football. Nothing to do with our atrocious ability. No, I'm not that bad. Well, maybe I am.
I've seen you kick around in Edmundstown, Ennis. You're a class act.
Yeah. We're blowing smoke up my arse now. What are you looking for?
Oh, moving on.
Anyway, moving on. Right, okay. So Bernard Brogan tweeted last week there, and this is about the whole behind closed doors issue. He says, this playing behind closed doors debate is baffling me. Fans are obviously amazing, and I lived off every drop of atmosphere created. I loved every drop of atmosphere created, but I would take your hands off the plate for my county again, spectators or not. Playing because we love the game, and that's the end of it. Am I missing something, he says. Well, I don't know. From my point of view, how, like, I could see for certain players who just love playing football.
Yeah.
They don't give a toss if there's fans there or not. They're not too worried if there's nobody at the match. They can probably drown out the whole atmosphere around them. Some players play like that. But then I imagine a lot of players, other players, buzz off the whole atmosphere. They buzz off if they score a point and they're punching it to the fans. You know, I think as a player, I would like to play with a crowd around me. Even if I'm playing a club match for my team, Ballyboden, I love when there's lads. Like, the bigger the crowd there, you feel like you have to prove yourself, more people mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. That would be my current point of view. And then obviously there's the financial aspect for the GEA. I mean, surely the GEA, obviously they want fans there, but something tells me they're not going to put games behind closed doors because this is their biggest money spinner. Like, they need crowds to get the funds, you know what I mean? The funds they need to keep going. Yeah. So I can't imagine the GEA will be too forthcoming of behind closed doors game. What do you think?
I can't see it, Mick. Like, look at that. The GEA absolutely love money, and it's a farce of an idea because, to be honest with you, like yourself and like myself, Bernard Brogan, he thrives off being the centre of attention, and he was a fan's favourite. So for Brogan, to be honest, to come out and kind of say that, I was kind of surprised because, you know, no better man to maybe wave to the crowd, to maybe celebrate in front of the crowd. That man thrives on an atmosphere being there. So I think for him, maybe he's getting a few pounds for saying that because he does seem like a man for everything he puts up on social media. He definitely looks like he's getting a few pounds for it. So, like, super value, you've Little Woods, he references it. There's too much going on with that man. So for him to come out and say that, I was quite surprised. You need a crowd of games. Sport is so important with fans, and that's the bottom line. Because, like, you're looking at Bundesliga, and no, the Borussia Dortmund players clapping, and there's no fans there. Looked absolutely ridiculous. Sport needs fans. The GAA will only wait until the circumstances are okay to get the ball rolling again. You need fans. And Brogan to say that, I think, was ridiculous.
Well, I was about to say the Bundesliga he said there, because I was watching the matches last, the Borussia Dortmund Schalke game. I put that on last week and I watched a half an hour of it. And after a few minutes, you're just like, I'm not bothered watching this. You know, you actually realize then that you need the fans, you need the atmosphere. Like, it's actually more than just the sport on the pitch. Obviously, we love the football. We love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a really important part of it. But when you see, when you hear, you can actually hear what the players are saying to each other.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it just, it doesn't seem attractive.
No, no, no. And yeah, like, as well as that, no, like, you're just kind of, you're just, like, the players are surely going through the motions, and it's like a training session. Like, I can't stress how important it is to have fans at a game of football, and it just looks absolutely ridiculous. I know, but like, the GAA, like, everybody absolutely adores the GAA, like, everyone that's involved with it. So, you know, I think it's just so null and void. Like, simple as, you need fans back, and okay, yes, it's a big miss at the minute, but God, I think we just need to wait. And Brogan, like the rest of us, will have to wait, because I don't know about you, but you need fans of games. Simple as. It's nonsense.
No, look, if I'm honest, like, I'd probably watch the matches if they were on the telly, if they were behind closed doors, because they will be, obviously. That'd be a really important part of it. Most of the games would be on the telly.
Yeah.
But I just don't see how interesting it could be. Like, I mean, it wouldn't captivate my attention, really.
No.
Watching a match with no one at the match. Like, I mean,
no, nonsense.
But even, like, if you look at the teams like Dublin, the Hill 16 there, like, that's a massive part of their whole image, how they play. I mean, no, I have to be against it.
No,
we had John Horan on a couple of weeks ago in the Sunday game saying no matches are going to be on until there's no social distancing, which obviously won't happen. That won't end until there's a vaccine.
Yeah.
So, do you think on that point then, is there going to be any matches this year?
Yeah, and I was talking to Shawnee there in the shop, and he's really thinking, oh, maybe October, November, and he doesn't even think so either. Look, to be honest with you, I really think until we get a vaccine, until the thing's sorted, 2021, and just go with it. Because look, May is nearly over. We're coming into June, and June this time last year was probably nearing the end of the provincial championships. So realistically, I really just think start fresh next year, and if there's a vaccine got by then, or if we do have to wait, just wait. And I keep stressing the point that the games will be back, there will be good times again, and just people just need patience, because, like, you know, the G is never just going to stop, like, being a game or a broadcasting game, whatever. So I just think we really need patience, Mick, you know. And, like, there's enough stuff on YouTube and TG4 and RT to be watching anyway to keep our minds up. And our podcast as well. Like, so it's realistically, it's the dream for GAA fans at the minute, and they don't realise it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I personally don't think there's going to be football this year, and no. I'd be very surprised if there will be, because you can't, there's talk of even loads of pubs then open here in Dublin saying they're not even going to open this year.
No.
Because they can't do social distancing. So I can't see how, I just don't see it. They need to have normality, like, in terms of, these be fans back in the ground before you can really put players on the pitch, because I'd say a lot of players would be like, but don't want to train. I mean, some players are working in hospitals, they're working, your girlfriend, boyfriends could be in their hospitals. I mean, how can you expect them to train and then go home
exactly
to their own family, and they could give the virus to someone else? I just think,
but for anything to go back, right, and no fans being at it, that is honestly like going into a situation and having something half-arsely done. Because if you're going back with no fans, and everyone had, like, the managers along the sideline have to just socially distance, and the players have to be so far apart, in my eyes, that's like having something half done and half cooked. Nonsense. Wait our time, and just, because it just will look with it. Like, let's say in Croker, like, I know Croker for some quarterfinals and Super 8 games can look empty, whatever. But to God almighty, Croker would look ridiculous with no fans in it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Bernard Brogan, do me a favour.
Remember Leo came out a couple weeks, Leo Bracken came out a couple weeks ago and said that
he doesn't have a clue about GAA, Mick, so it wouldn't even.
No, but he goes, we could have an All Ireland.
Oh, he's a clown. He's an.
Why are you saying that? Like, you have the clue.
Oh, he's a clown. And sorry, I don't even care calling him a clown. I know my sister's going out with a Fianna Fáil senator. I don't even care. Leo Varadkar.
Radker's been a Gael. That's what you're saying.
I know, but for Leo Varadkar, if you're listening now, I'm not a fan of yours. You don't have a clue about sport, so don't comment on it. Also, Ryan Tuberty, get the boat. Get the boat.
Yeah, you had a little rant there on Friday night. The whole late night show. Someone was trying to trigger you that night, Mac.
I love it. If I see Daniel O'Donnell on the late late again, Mick, I will get the TV and throw it out the window.
In fairness, Daniel's all right. Like, but like, come on, he was on the late late about 2 weeks ago as well, and his wife was singing with him. So I don't know. Like, they're lovely people, but
someone else
on the late late show than Daniel O'Donnell. Like.
Oh, he's a dose. He's an absolute dose. And the lineup last Friday was horrendously bad. Like, you're nearly waiting all week. Oh, I don't know.
I guarantee you'll end up watching them again on Friday. Anyway,
it probably will. It's like a guilty pleasure of mine. You see, we always, as my family always used to sit down around the hot stove and watch them kill each other every Friday. And it would have been the only thing that would have settled us down. And the fact it's going to shit now in our generation doesn't serve good for the future generation, Mick. That's for another day's topic.
Right, come on, we'll leave that there, all right? We'll get back to football. Okay. Right. Just last point now, moving on to this here. Pat Spillane, I don't know if you saw this today. He came out and he was actually... Someone was upsetting Pat anyway. He must have had a bad weekend because this article came out this morning and he was an angry man. And he says he was pissed off, because... We've become too safe and cagey, and it's time for the GAA open up and let kids play again. So basically, Pat's given out. Pat wants pitches open again. He says, you know, open the pitches up, let the kids and players go out in groups of four, train, have a puck around, a kick around. Mm-hmm. He says they're struggling with the lack of social interaction. I mean, I don't know where Pat Spillane gets off in thinking he has. No, I'm not saying he says it, but I just get that vibe that his opinion is more important than someone.
Oh, of course.
He knows what he's talking about. Mm. I mean, Pat Spillane, I think he's a teacher down in Kerry. Obviously, he's a fantastic footballer, but he's not a health medic. He's not a health expert. He's not a doctor. He's not a nurse. And he's not a bloody scientist. So I don't understand where Pat Spillane's coming on thinking he can tell what we should do. The only person who can come out and say this is obviously like Tony Houlihan or the government. I do get to a certain extent what he means by the whole, you know, kids need to get out, they need to have social interaction, but I mean, is it the right thing to do? Should open the pitches, Mac?
Look, I think we were having this discussion before. I think for people's well-being and mental health, to go out for a run along the pitch or even a bit of a kick around with your friends, I probably would open it for that, but for matches and bits and pieces, obviously not. But I just think for the social interaction end of things and just for people's head, I honestly think even just go for a run or walk around your pitch that's near you and even just have a kick around with four friends, I'd agree with that. But I think for Pat Spillane to be, obviously he's not writing that article. Like, someone's picking, they get, what paper was that with, Mick?
The Independent, I think.
Yeah, so you're talking, whoever the sports journalist is with the Independent, he picks up the phone, rings Pat Spillane and says,
I was having a rant.
Exactly. So he rings Pat Spillane. So Pat Spillane, for starters, he's not typing that. Not a chance. Anything to sound out of form, and that's what he's doing again. Like, so if you think about it, Mick, when things go quiet for the likes of Joe Brawley, for the likes of Pat Spillane, let's say something controversial and let's spiral the name up again. Because God, the Sunday game's not on. How can I be controversial again?
Well, in fairness, he was on RT Radio again today. I think it was Brendan O'Connor, and he was talking about it again. And he's basically saying that, you know, he's concerned for, you know, the welfare of kids and people who might have disabilities, that the pitches should be open up for kids to get out, basically just have a kick around. But the only thing I actually like Pat Spillane. I think he's gas. But yeah. I know he does come out with some scandalous things sometimes. Uh-huh. But the only thing I mean, these pitches have to be monitored by people. Like, I mean, they're saying if they're going to open up pitches, they need a representative. Or John Horan was saying this in the Sunday game, that there needs to be representatives from every club to monitor that social distancing is happening, that people are, you know, obeying the rules, essentially, of the COVID-19 situation, the pandemic. And what happens if you say in your club in Cavan or Ballybogues, they end this year, there's a man in our club or a woman in our club and goes down to the pitch. They have to monitor her, the social distancing. What happens if 300 kids, I know that's dramatic, but even 20, 30, 40 kids turn up on the pitch? And, you know, kids, they're enthusiastic. We both work in childcare. They're going to hug each other. They're going to high five. They're going to be wrestling. They're going to be messing around with the football. I mean, and then that's on the head of, of someone who's just trying to do their best in the club. Is that, that's not fair to put someone like that in that situation?
Not really, Mick, not really. But like, the one thing I'd have to say, right, I, before the pitches were closed, like, I've Breffni Park right beside me there, right, and basically I went for like a run and kicked a few points down there, and like, the only people that was down there was an elderly couple, and they were just doing a few runs around the track, and maybe one other person after that. So realistically, I think maybe if they could limit the amount of people that maybe come down and open the pitches up again, because realistically, like, if you're a couple going down, you're definitely keeping your social distancing, which they wear, and then like, you're so spread out and away from everybody, it probably should be open for that, running around. And you know, I think they jumped into that one a bit too quickly. They didn't really think about that one, I don't think.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, John Horne's committed to not opening the pitches till July. I do think that's a bit, like, I mean, we could be living in a different country, never mind in a month's time, never mind 2 months, you know, because they're saying now this virus is, you know, it's kind of out of the community. It's only in those clusters now. I mean, I'm no health expert. I'm not going to sit here and say I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I do see your point about the pitches being open up for letting elderly people to go for a walk, or just their people to run, have a run around the pitches. But I mean, I just do think if you do open them up, there's a high chance there could be a free-for-all for people.
Probably. But like, I just don't... I know people get so excited and, oh yes, the pitch is open again. But one thing I have to say, the best example I can use is, if it's the situation I had a few weeks ago where there was very little people down, I actually think there shouldn't be a problem, because honestly, it was me, herself, and then this other couple, and then some other random person that, like, just... So everyone's so spread out, running around, get their business done, and just go home, and that's it. So I think from that side of things, it probably should be open.
And they're actually, I think they were looking into that. I read somewhere that they're saying that they might open up the pitches for let people to go for that, you know, the walk around the pitch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah, and it should be, because, you know, you need, I know there's so much you can walk, you can, I don't know, if you've a garden, you can walk out the road, whatever, but it does get a bit monotonous, even to kick a couple of points or something, or, like, if you heard the hurling puck around with your friends, them wee things, you know, when people, they're a big miss for people, you know?
Yeah, and then, well, look, fingers crossed, this is back sooner than rather than later. We might even have trainings again soon. But I think all we can do is just listen to what the government say and not what Pat Spillan says, because I don't think he's the man with the power.
And Mick, tell me this, what's your fitness plan like at the minute? Like, are you getting out for many 5K runs?
I bought a bike there a couple of weeks ago.
How's it going?
I'm hitting the cycling.
Oh, nice one.
Because
I have been kind of been worried about, like, your kind of fitness the last while, so it's good to see you're doing a bit.
You've been worried about it, have you? I've been putting on some turf. No, I've been out cycling a good bit, in fairness. But do you know what? I'm having an absolute mare with wine gums.
I'm having so many
wine gums at the moment.
You're eating them last night, I've seen as well. I'm having them here with Kinder Buenos, donuts, cans of Coke,
everything.
Tea. It's a bit of a joke, Mick. It's a bit of a joke. And like, I think that saying of living with the other half, it's not good for the body.
The worst thing to happen about this COVID-19 is just basically eating the amount of
and drinking bottles at night time for no reason. Yeah. You were on the red wine last night. That was very cultured.
I was feeling classy, you know. I was having notions about myself.
Yeah. You dub.
Did you call me a dub? You're looking for trouble. Right, Mike, tell us, who's the big guest we have on this week?
Matty Ford, former Wexford footballer. I am absolutely buzzing for that. He was, like yourself, a childhood hero of mine. And I just remember so well this game he had against Meade. I think it was in the Leinster Championship. And he shot the lights out. And he got this outrageous point along the right-hand side of the sideline. Just, he is a class act, an absolute marksman. And I can't wait for that. It's going to be brilliant.
Really looking forward to that. So yeah, we're recording tomorrow night, but with Matty Ford. That'll be out probably Wednesday or Thursday. And now we're up on Twitter, we're up on Instagram, our podcasts are on Spotify, and they'll probably be on the rest of the platforms very soon. So obviously, the more people following, liking, listening, the better for us. And we have a lot of good, exciting guests coming up over the next few weeks. So it might be worth your while to listen in, and there'll be some good stories hopefully told. But Matty Ford this week, what a player. I remember that that quarter final against Armagh, him against Francie Belli, that was a serious tussle. So yeah, we'll be asking about that. We'll be asking about playing international rules, club team, and obviously he left the panel with Paul Galvin this year. And we'd love to hear what happened then.
And as well as that, if we even get this podcast out before the Matty Ford interview, guys, if there's any questions, ask the great man himself.
Absolutely.
Get them in. Because this is your chance to ask Wexford's best ever forward and probably one of my favourite ever players.
Absolutely. On that note, Mac, we'll leave it there. Good chatting to you.
Absolute pleasure, Mick. Thanks again and have a good evening, buddy.
All right. See you then, guys.
Thanks for listening in and don't forget to follow the Mick and Max GAA Football Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and we are on Spotify.